Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies. From the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network for movie talk, and the schmoes know, this is Box Office Breakdown. Information and commentary on weekly movie box office.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Box Office Breakdown on the Popcorn Talk Network. I'm your host, Sarah Stratton, and I'm here with JT.
Yay! I made it back, everybody. I'm alive.
He's back. He is now called, his official name is the Gigolo of Burbank.
Burbank?
We have had a couple of theories about why you're ditching us.
Oh, I was a ditch? It was more of
One was the NBA All-Star game, but that, we were like, nah.
No, that didn't get a lot of votes.
Because it was a Walking Dead premiere, we're like, nah.
No, don't like that show.
Yeah. Third one was Multiple Girlfriends.
That is it. The answer is, that's probably right.
Ding, 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 we have a winner. Yeah. Well,
I only go to the NBA All-Star game if I'm playing in it. That's the only way I'd ever go.
So we're back. We're going to talk about the box office numbers from this past weekend. We're going to talk about upcoming movies. Also, we have a number for the studio because we're going to take callers at the end. The number is 424-256-1633. So if you want to call in and talk to us at the end.
You were saying you're in the market for a dog or something?
I don't want a dog. I want my parents to get a dog so that I can just play with it but not have to take care of it.
Oh, so like every mother in Los Angeles who has a kid.
That's the best. Like, my parents have two dogs and it's great. You go visit them, play with the dog, and you don't have to worry about
it. I don't have a yard. Yeah. I live in an apartment. I feel bad putting a dog in that situation.
What I would do if I had a lot of money. I mean, I would have a bunch of kids and then just pass them off to people, races and stuff like that. And I'd visit them once a month, give them some money and stuff like that.
I think that's child abandonment.
No, that's
not
child.
No, he said visit.
Yeah, visit. I mean, I'd visit them all.
He said visit.
Okay.
But you said you were on
a
list.
No, he said once a month.
Yeah,
that's not a lot.
You were on a list for a dog.
No, my parents were on a list for a dog. Like, they know dogs that are having puppies, so they, like, signed up and put their name down, and they're like, if they have enough golden retrievers from this.
Oh, golden retriever.
Oh, wow, that's a big one. How do you get to the top of the list, though? Like, if you're not on the top of the list, like...
Why are you slipping more money?
Yeah.
You always want to pick at a litter.
Yeah. Always. Well, you have this little... We have a little dog running around the studio, so if you ever hear any barking, that would be our mascot.
Yeah, he's the best.
I always go for the run of the litter.
You know what?
I want this small, scrappy guy.
Yeah, you know, he can always turn into Rocky.
I got a run of the litter when I was little, and my mom freaked out because it was a gift from another family member because she thought it was going to die on me.
Whoa, how small was it?
Because it was like in the palm of your hand.
No, really?
So small.
They're probably this girl's so beautiful. Just give her the run to the litter and maybe she can nurse it back to health with her beauty.
It was definitely one of those things where my family member went and they were like, oh, this one needs the most love. And then they brought it and my mom was like, no.
Well, I'll tell you what, if I was on the verge of death and you came to my bedside, I'd wake up real quick. I gotta get another couple of weeks in here to work some magic.
And that's when I take the turn to talk about this past weekend's movies.
Yeah, I'm excited because I missed a big weekend last week. Like,
we were
in a really big, I mean, listen, January, February is usually crap movies, and the box office was pretty stale, besides Kung Fu Panda, but like, this is...
Well, we're going to do probably some more talking about Deadpool.
Oh, yeah.
Have all of us seen it now?
Twice.
Okay, twice.
I just saw it once.
Once, I'm once. So, but we can have a little bit of... So we're going to probably go through some spoilers, just warning you. But let's start with this past weekend, so February 19th through 21st. I'm actually going to start with the top six, because Race just didn't make the top five. Came in at number six with 7.27 million.
Yeah.
So I thought it was going to be up there. I thought it was going to crack, be in those top five. It's... really underperformed, in my opinion, but I guess...
I agree. I would have put it, if I was here, I would put it like 4 or 5. But it has, apparently it has like a $5 million budget. Like, super low budget.
I don't have the budget listed on Box Office Mojo right now, but we can look it
look, they try to capitalize on a couple of things.
Well, I would love to be in the room when they were coming up. Like, they're pitching a movie. They've greenlit it. They're like, we need a title. Do we go with Jesse Owens? And then that one guy was like... Race.
I think it would have done better if it was Jesse Owens.
Really? Because race? Because they're racing. Mm-hmm. And it's about race.
It's beautiful.
I mean, home run. That guy should have got
poetry in motion.
The guy should have got a raise right there on the spot.
I would have called it race card.
Race card?
I mean, look, it's Black History Month.
But where's the card come play?
It's just Hitler's.
He didn't race card himself into the Olympics.
Okay, well, before we get into talking about these movies, let's run through the list because we haven't even started the top five.
Sorry.
Number five did go to How to Be Single. So that means Zoolander 2 is out. Hail Caesar's out. Moving on up to the How to Be Single came in with 8.2 million. Mm-hmm. Then The Witch debuted this week, 8.6 million. So number four spot.
Nice.
Number three spot goes to Risen. So that is the leader of the pack for the newcomers this week, bringing in 11.8 million.
Jesus.
Then up to number two, Kung Fu Panda, which has been around for 4 weeks now. Mm-hmm. And number one, again, going to Deadpool, bringing in $55 million. It did take a 58% drop, while going up in theaters.
Yeah. But anytime you open that big, it's going to be close to 50 or 60 at least.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you would think. I mean, it was front-loaded big time.
Do you guys want to start at the bottom? Work your way to the top?
Let's start at the bottom.
All right. The first one, How to Be Single.
From the bottom down here.
That's like, it may as well be sci-fi to me because I don't even know what that's like.
Well, look, I mean, you know, it's an interesting film. It's a chick flick. It's funny. You got Rebel Wilson in there. You got
Awesome Brie.
Yeah.
And it's you got Dakota, in here because of the range of genre.
Of course.
It is your quote unquote female movie for the top five.
Yeah.
How to Be Single is, if I'm looking at this, I'm like, this is the one that my aunts, my mom, everyone's going to.
Really?
If Deadpool's a little bit too much for them, a little too racy, they're not really going to be going out and seeing The Witch. That's normally, the horror market is normally younger.
Mm-hmm.
Probably already seen Deadpool once or twice, so they have time to go see The Witch. Mm-hmm. Kung Fu Panda's for your kids. And Risen is for...
Jesus.
Yeah.
Most likely if you're religious.
If you just want a good time, like, you know, entertainment, like a popcorn movie that's not Deadpool, that's where most adults are probably going. Because everything else here is kind of heavy. Especially Risen and The Witch.
And there's a lot of girls who are single and they get drunk and then be like, let's go see How to Be Single. And then figure out how not to be eventually.
Mm-hmm. Girls' weekend after Valentine's Day went really bad.
Is that what they do?
Lots of breakups. Then they go to How to Be Single.
I got you. I didn't think about that.
It's interesting. It's like, you know, it's tough to meet a girl around Valentine's Day because then, you know, you're almost obligated to take her out on Valentine's Day.
So you just avoid dating for the first...
Yeah, for the first month of February. I just watched porn.
Since New Year's till mid-February.
Yeah,
no dating.
Yeah, you got to cruise to at least February 15th. And if the girl's, open to dating you or going on a first date for Valentine's Day, the guy's in big trouble for the rest of his life. That's for sure.
What does that mean?
I would never take a girl out on Valentine's Day, you know, if... I just first met
What if
first
it was really low-key?
Now, if I went to a bar and girls are there on Valentine's Day, yes, that's a slam dunk.
What about a low-key date? Like, eat in?
There is no low-key on Valentine's.
Yeah.
Date, there's no low-key. Have you ever dated somebody on Valentine's Day for their first day? For the first date?
For a first date, no. Yeah.
There's too much implied when you go, on Valentine's Day. There's so much pressure. It'd be like going to a key party but not bringing any keys.
Absolutely.
What's going to happen?
Like a key?
You know what a key party is? You know what a key party is in the 70s? The married couples all come in and they put a key in a jar and they would swap with their wives with other keys.
That's hot.
They pull out a key. It was in the movie The Ice Storm.
Isn't this called being a swinger or something?
Yeah, but it's from the movie Ice Storm. You guys remember that movie with Kevin Kline, Tobey Maguire?
Well, I know what I'm doing next
movie?
Valentine's
It's a great movie. I think it's Ang Lee's best film.
Ang Lee did it?
Ang Lee.
All right.
I'm in.
And now we have our movie of the week that you need to go see.
I think we're rolling out a key party next week.
Key party.
We'll bring Tony Montana in here. He'll just do a key blast.
All right. So that's a little bit on How to Be Single.
Can't believe
I knew
what that was.
Which has been kind of...
I can't believe it
for
either.
Me...
The hell was I
thinking? Where are you at?
Damn.
That's like right up your alley.
Shit.
Anytime I get an invite
now
to one of your parties,
excited.
I assume
you're
it's a key
party. Smiling from ear to ear.
You know what the thing is about Valentine's Day as well? It's like... I don't like the cliche of it all. I think it's a Hallmark holiday, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think the perfect Valentine's Day is just, you know, if you're in a relationship, you know, just cook dinner at the house, watch something fantastic, and then just go bananas later on night.
I agree. I mean, I've always said, I think we might have talked about it last week.
Is there
you go to dinner later in the week, and at least you're not
there
crowded.
Is. Yeah, and you get set meals and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Anybody. Don't take a girl to a fancy restaurant on Valentine's Day. You're going to have the worst time of your life.
It's not the best. Unless it's a restaurant that only has booths. Like, that's...
Okay.
It's acceptable. Trust me. Okay. You go to restaurants, and if there's not booths, they just shove you all together.
No,
they
bring we'll be out sitting every, this close to yes, each other.
And you'll be on different dates.
Yes.
And your dates will be right across from each other. You can't hear anything. Unless, that's at least how it is in L.A.
Unless after the dinner is a key party, then everybody's cool.
Yeah, everyone's cool.
All right, so...
Key party, guys.
The Witch coming to us this week.
Yes.
It has kind of, I felt like, really been circulating word of mouth.
Yeah. Since Sundance.
I've been hearing polarizing things. I've heard some people go see this movie and are like, it's not scary enough. Other people go out and they're like, it's really well made. Mm-hmm. What did you come out of it? It's one of those movies that maybe you don't enjoy as much when you're in it, but you come out of it and you start enjoying it more. Mm-hmm. So I've kind of been hearing this weird spectrum of reviews. I haven't seen it.
It's a slow burn. I mean, look, back in those days, like the English Times or whatever they were doing, the 1600s.
Was it New England?
Yeah, it's 1600 time. It's like Quaker Pilgrim stuff or whatever.
Okay.
I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but I mean, ultimately, I watched it about a year ago because the company I was working for was going to buy it, so I had an advanced screener of it. It's good. I mean, it's really well made, and it took like 2 years to make it. I mean, like A24, the studio came in and bought it for $1 million. Put a bunch, not too much money in the P&A. But you open up like this is a major hit for them. I mean, they did Ex Machina and one or other one, but this is their biggest hit so far. It's a win-win situation.
It's interesting, though, because similar to how Hail Caesar did on Rotten Tomatoes a couple weeks ago, this was also another movie that's getting higher critic scores than audience scores. So if you look at Rotten Tomatoes, it has like 88% in critics. That's 53% in audience. That's also, I believe, its cinema score is like a C- or
which
something,
is
which is coming
it's,
out.
It's not for the ADD.
No,
it's polarizing.
It's really honestly.
Well,
isn't.
The director won Best Directorial Debut at Sundance. I went saw the film. I saw it with Copstar on Friday. We really want to check it out. He's a big horror fan, so let's go check it out. I thought it was really good. And what I don't understand is, like you said, some people are like it's not scary. I'm not quite sure what people mean by that. Like, are they expecting? Are they talking like jump scares?
I'm not sure
because this movie
I haven't seen it, but it's like when I'm with a crowd of people, they're like, it's just not scary enough.
Well, you got to put yourself in a predicament. In a horror movie, you got to feel like you're one of the characters.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're the dad in this, you should be really scared. This is the movie is an issue, like, and it's true, and it's like I think it was actually even before the Salem witch trials. Which obviously is a big problem.
Yeah, the movie for me like is so well made. The score is fantastic. I love seeing a movie where I don't know what's going to happen one scene to the next.
Okay.
The problem with horror movies being such a genre, they follow such a similar formula, whether it be an exorcism movie or a slasher film. Something like this, which is just, first of all, it's creepy as hell.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm watching it, I'm like, one of the reviews on TV said it felt like you're watching something that you shouldn't be seeing, and that's the best way I could say it. It's almost like, oh man, this is like, this is stuff I'm not supposed to be seeing, but they're putting it right in front of me. It gets really graphic at some point, and then the ending gets insane. I'm not going to say what it is, but because I had no idea what was going to happen, I was always invested, and I thought the acting across the board was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the visuals are just straight up disturbing. Some of the most disturbing things I've seen in a horror film in a while.
I would agree with that.
I mean, it's not everyone's cup of tea. Listen, this is the art house. It's an art house movie.
That's correct.
All right.
You're not going to get Ouija board out of this thing. Mm-hmm. That freaking Ouija movie.
On a different note, Risen, also in theaters this past weekend. Opposite effect for the Rotten Tomatoes, with a 59% from critics and 80% from audience scores.
Gotcha.
One of the reviews, one of the top ones from New York Magazine Vulture top critic, brings... For a film that could have easily become bogged down in Sunday school reverence or culture war opportunism, Risen presents an intriguing, oblique approach to a Bible movie. So it sounds like it's aimed in the marketing. This is a movie that's always like from the standpoint of a non-believer.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's trying to broaden its reach and kind of go outside
of the
religious audience.
You're right.
They
push
for that. War Room?
War Room,
yeah.
Which is a very, $2 million or $500,000 movie and made a ton of money. I mean, I think the Jesus followers, if it's not like Passion of the Christ or something like that, look at a movie like Risen. They took a risk here at $20 million to try to to go a little further. I mean, usually these movies are a lot cheaper than this.
It looks it though. It doesn't look cheap. Like sometimes these faith based movies, they look like production wise, they look kind
of
cheap.
Of course.
I saw a trailer for this. I'm like, this looks like a good sword and sandals kind of movie, but with this religious backdrop and the director Kevin Reynolds, who directed Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves,
mm-hmm.
Waterworld. I mean, he's a skilled director. He did the Hateful McCoys with Kevin Costner. Remember mm-hmm. that History Channel movie?
Yeah, yeah.
Really well. So they got like a decent director.
But do you feel drawn to see this movie?
A little bit.
A little bit?
A little bit.
I'm getting more curious, mm-hmm. but from the standpoint, I don't know. It's almost a double-edged sword because of their marketing saying, like, from a non-believer, it, like,
yeah.
makes me almost not want to see it.
Well, it was interesting. I mean, you know, The Witch was backed by the Satanic Church of Hollywood.
Mm. I did not know
was
that.
Was it Hollywood?
Yeah. It was.
Okay, I knew it was a Satanic Church. I didn't know
it was backed by it, and Risen was backed by a bunch of pastors, so I guess Jesus won here. He beat the devil again.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
But who really won was Deadpool and Kung Fu Panda, so all religion. Sorry, you lost this week.
Yeah. I think Kung Fu Panda, again, like same thing we said with How to Be Single. It's the only thing for kids out here.
Yeah.
I mean,
and it makes all its money on Sunday.
Yeah.
And we said this from the beginning. It's one of the only kids' movies out there for a while. Mm-hmm. Like, they gave themselves room
nice
to just
window.
Stay in there. I want to say the next thing might be like Zootopia or something.
Zootopia is next month.
Well, definitely Zoolander.
Zoolander's gone. We're not talking about that probably
Tank job.
Anytime soon again. It is out. Brought in 5.5, dropped 60%.
Yeah, wow. Poor Zoolander.
Terrible.
Also worth noting, because I think we're going to get more into it in as we turn over to the international box office, but I'm pretty sure The Mermaid actually was able to crack domestic charts.
Oh, top 20
because,
somewhere?
Yeah, because it is ranked as number 16, but it only has a theater count of 35, and it brought in $1 million.
Wow.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
That's really good.
Well, you know why.
It's sandwiched in between The Fifth Wave, which had 850, and The Finest Hours, which has 946. Three of those movies are bringing around $1 million, mm-hmm. And The Mermaid was able to keep up with that at 35.
Is it a Chinese mermaid?
So
the Chinese film.
It is this Chinese film.
It's a Chinese mermaid.
Well, yeah.
I mean, I guess
that's
that,
a first.
Why? Anyway.
You ever see mermaids are always like voluptuous women.
There's mermen.
All right.
Is there?
I think there was in something.
Well, this is a mermaid. I believe it is. It is a female. This movie is taking. It has now outdone Monster Hunt, which we talked about at great length on
that's
this
impossible.
Show. It is breaking down walls. Let's get into our international numbers. We're going to start before Mermaid.
Real quick about Mermaid. It is directed by Stephen Chow, who is like mm-hmm. the biggest director in China.
That's true.
He did Shaolin Soccer, which got a huge release in America.
Mm-hmm.
Kung Fu Hustle was like his biggest hit in America. Mm-hmm. Those movies, that he every time that guy makes a movie, it's an event over there. So I'm not surprised Mermaid's going to destroy Monster.
Yeah, Mermaid is supposedly some sort of like, it's an offbeat comedy.
He always does comedy, yeah.
About, I want to say it's about a mermaid who like is trying to assassinate a businessman by like seducing him.
Of course,
something along those lines. But let's get into the international. Let's get into the international numbers in general. Mm-hmm. We are going to start talking about Deadpool because it did top the foreign mm-hmm. box office for the second weekend in a row to the tune of $85 million. So drop down to around 55 here, 85 international. Given that, its worldwide total stands at $491.7 million. It should cross the $500 million mark on Monday at some point,
major,
so tomorrow.
Major hit.
Mm-hmm.
Especially for the budget.
58?
I mean, you look at Avengers, the budget's like 180, 190.
Yeah,
and I need to do something like this.
Well, we talked about it last week on how much, just in the comic books, superhero movies in general, mm-hmm. Deadpool was able to open at a pace that was like in the top 10 overall. It beat out, it was up there with like Dark Knight.
This beat Man of Steel.
Beating a lot of individual movies. It's up there with like mm-hmm. the team ensemble cast movies. Mm-hmm. It's just doing really, really well. And for
no
money.
It's baffling to me. It's not like Spider-Man or, mm-hmm. I mean, even Iron Man was a bigger known character mm-hmm. than Deadpool. Nobody knew Deadpool outside of, I feel like, the comic book nerd community.
True.
The geeks, you know what I mean?
But
the
really love that stuff.
But that's
the production value
this.
Was great as well.
Yeah, but I think...
I heard you guys talk about it last week. The way they market this thing was like genius. It hit every quadrant.
And also the curiosity. Go ahead. I was going to say the curiosity around the mm-hmm. character. versus we have Batman versus Superman coming in mm-hmm. a couple months. Like, everyone has an expectation of all these movies that are coming out. You have such an expectation of the Avengers movies. You know how every character is kind of going to interact with the villain, what's going to happen with Deadpool, and I think also with Suicide Squad, there's more curiosity. You want to see how these yeah. characters are going to act, what they're going to do.
But I also think, you know, look at a movie like Deadpool for $58 million. Look how much money it's going to make. Why are some of these superhero movies inflated budgets to like $150, $175, $180? Can you do this movie? And I didn't see any difference between the production value of this and Avengers and Iron Man and things like that. It's just like, yes, I know you get like big time directors and stuff like that. This guy's a first time director, $58 million budget, and knocked it out of the park, and he's sitting there $500 million right now.
Well, one of the differences is for Deadpool, you do have to make changes. For instance, when they introduce X-Men into that mm-hmm. film, they can't use huge X-Men. There's not nearly as many cameos because they can't pay for them. There's location changes. You aren't having as big of sets. Sometimes you can't label what they are. On top of that, I know that in particular for Deadpool, when they had to cut out, I believe it was like $7 to $9 million, they had mm-hmm. to cut out like 9 pages. They had to cut out race scenes. They had to cut out like another fight
sure,
scene.
Sure, it was a risk.
It's those things that you're losing. Well,
I mean, look,
it's not going to be a problem part two. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah. Deadpool could have came out and, you know, did nothing. Mm-hmm. Made $58 million first weekend, and you know
they would have been happy with that.
Yeah, of course. They didn't know what was going to happen because it's rated R, and this is what it is.
Well, it's also doing well abroad, opening up in 17 new markets. It includes South Korea with $12 million, Spain with $4.1 million, and Italy with $3.3 million. Moviegoers seem to be embracing the foul-mouthed title character played by Ryan Reynolds, but the four-letter words and bloodletting did come at a price. Deadpool has been banned in China, the world's second largest market. It also, I believe,
not
has been banned in Uzbekistan, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah,
because
of the masturbation jokes, apparently.
Oh, I see that, yeah.
Yeah.
Why?
China's the biggest porn capital of the world.
I think that China was it the violence, you think?
No, it was the masturbation scenes. Well, they don't like that unless
China
they're doing
it themselves. China is doing fine because they have been pulling out just tons of their own material, because in second place, the Chinese fantasy The Mermaid became the highest grossing film in the country's history after earning $56 million. So its global total stands at $421 million, which is pushing it past the previous record holder, which is Monster Hunt, which was $374 million, which was last year.
Sounds
so,
right.
And it did, but I know that it did this much quicker.
Okay.
It's done this in like, I want to say 12 days when Monster Hunt took over 50. And that was a huge deal. So this is just really moving quickly.
I have a theory of why China's box office is so big. Because nobody could stay outside anymore because of the smog. So nobody could breathe. So they just go into the theaters and watch anything that's there.
Air filters on air conditioners?
Yeah, pretty much.
It's also just been a very growing industry over there. And they really put a lot of money into building new theaters and expanding.
And 4 billion people.
That's a lot.
The smog is really bad.
Speaking of, so this is another animated movie. Disney's Zootopia has opened. It took third place with $31.2 million ahead. So it doesn't open in the U.S. till next month. So it already has 31. From Brad, no idea what it's going to do in the U.S. yet. It's set in a city of animals, and this family film has made $39 million globally. It is now screening in 222 territories. So it's screening in France, screening in Italy, Korea, Mexico, really big markets, just not the U.S. yet.
Yeah, I can't really talk too much about this movie because I'm actually suing Disney. The title Zootopia is too close to Zootopia.
That's true.
I got a couple lawsuits going
in. Yeah, you should.
You really?
I think everybody has lawsuits.
So this is a pattern because we've seen other animated Disney movies open earlier abroad. I believe Big Hero 6 opened in Russia before it opened here. But a pattern we're starting to see a little bit.
It's always Disney. When I was working, no, not working, when I was living in South America for a little bit, Iron Man and, no, Thor. Thor came out down there before it came out in the States.
It's really curious.
And it's Disney. And so for some reason, I don't know why they feel like, I don't really get it, but
I'm sure there's a strategy over like what's in the market in the U.S., what they're competing with, when the biggest window is for it to I'm sure it has to do with Kung Fu Panda being out, when that opened, kind of just being strategic with their placements.
I think we should, we need to talk to somebody at Screen Junkies to station you down in Latin America, or maybe China, to get the first releases.
I should. Let's fly me
then
down
you'll
there.
Have a place down there, and then I'll come down there, and then we'll just do key parties.
All right, and finally,
sounds good.
Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, Sword of Destiny, a sequel to the 2000 Oscar winner, and The Monkey King 2, a follow-up to the 2014 Chinese hit, rounded out the top five internationally. The Crouching Tiger installment opened to $21 million, while the second Monkey King earned $13 million, so that now has a global haul of $157.6 million.
I think what we should do now is not just have international numbers. It just should be international numbers, and then we should go into China box office as a whole.
It's basically that's what the international is right now.
I mean, that's all it is.
The Monkey King 2 is a sequel to The Monkey King. Was that just a remake of The Lion King, but with a monkey?
Yeah. That's exactly right.
Is that Mike correct?
I am pretty sure that's a lie.
Well, Chinese monkeys are way different than American monkeys.
But I do think you're right. I think I'm going to have to start like going to these Chinese movie theaters and seeing all of these films because they're just
You would be a blast in China. They would love you down there. Like, you would be an A-plus hit.
I don't know about that, but thank you.
Maybe 2 years, you get your citizenship, and next thing you know, you're Miss China. Done deal.
Miss China.
Yeah.
I'm very interested in all these Chinese
Miss
films.
Miss Universe?
Yeah.
So, here goes Miss China. Sarah Stratton?
Let's go on to
by our manager, Bob Finstock.
International.
No, she's Chinese. She's
titles.
Chinese.
Game. How did Cut them off the music, please.
Sorry. Because it's time for the international title game.
Al esfuerzo y al heroísmo de una revolución, no lo queremos.
What is your... I just saw you, like, make strangling motion at my head.
I went in the box. I found the litter. I lifted it out, and I gave it to you.
Because I saw it as, like, I'm going to choke you.
Lassie, the golden retriever. No, Lassie was a...
Lassie's not a golden retriever.
No, Moving on. Those Purina commercials, those are the golden retrievers.
Sure.
I think Mark Riley has a golden retriever.
No, that's a lab.
It's cream.
That's a lab.
Yeah, you're right. I don't know what dog breeds.
But you can tell us our international titles for this week's game.
Absolutely. And last week's Samurai Douchebag was right. I mean, it was clear.
Guys, I remember that.
Yeah, Samurai Douchebag.
Yeah.
So this week we're going with a great talent that I think he gets enough recognition, but not enough. I think this guy's fantastic. I mean, obviously, you know, he started out on Cheers.
Ted Danson.
No, well, obviously, he's the best.
Oh, he is
No, we got he's for opening up his movie Triple Nine, which is next week. We're going to go with Woody Harrelson.
Yeah, Ted Danson doesn't have much of a movie career.
No, you know, he was in 3 Men and a Baby.
Oh, Made in America.
Made in America.
Whoopi Goldberg.
Yeah, a couple.
That's right, but he hasn't done anything lately.
Yeah, no, once he painted his face, once he did blackface.
once he went blackface,
that was it for
his
movie
career. Remember that? You don't remember this.
But he was great in Fargo, too. That. You don't want to know that.
Yeah, he was dating Whoopi Goldberg, and he showed up to blackface.
You know what the crazy part about it is? He wore a toupee all through Cheers. And he was Sam Mayday Balone, who was the relief pitcher for the Boston Red Sox. And he made a lot of damn money, and he was the first guy to make over the $200,000 an episode.
Wow.
Facts. Okay,
facts.
That being said.
Good fact.
We got Woody Harrelson. Who I think is brilliant.
Oh, yeah, I like him. He's good.
Natural Born Killers.
Number five?
This is Foreign Movie Talk.
Oh, sorry. I was way off. For some reason, I was thinking we were doing something else.
Wrong game.
Sorry, wrong game.
This guy is the Gigolo Burbank. I mean, this guy has no time in his hands.
I want that tattoo. It's going to be a tattoo on my back.
Yeah.
Gigolo Burbank.
I like it. Natural Born Killers. The Shining. This is all from the People's Republic. Sorry.
So they just stole another movie's title.
Well, they don't know about that movie.
The Natural Born Killers, The Shining. Okay.
Okay.
One of my favorites, Indecent Proposal.
Demi Moore. Unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. Peach.
We're back to the peaches.
We're back with the peaches.
Post. Peach Post.
Peach Post.
Yeah, POST.
Like Look at all these peaches all over the floor.
The Post.
All right.
He started in, I don't know if you heard about this movie. It's called Pinkville.
No, he was supposed to. Wait,
no, he's in Pinkville.
There was an Oliver Stone film that was going to be called Pinkville, and then with Bruce Willis, and it got canceled.
Yeah, it was called something else.
But okay. But there, so there was a movie called Pinkville.
And there is a Chinese name for it.
Oh, awesome.
I wish I was in Pinkville.
I was waiting for something.
All the time. That's the best place to be, obviously.
When was this movie made?
Pinkville.
When was it made?
I don't know, but there's a Chinese title for it.
Okay.
Peach.
I don't know if this is a real movie.
Peach Powder.
Peach Powder, okay. Wow, Peach Powder.
Yeah, Peach Powder.
Okay.
I mean, that's...
Yeah.
I'd like to be there as well.
I don't know if that's a real movie.
What, Peach Powder?
That and what it's based off of.
Pinkville. Pinkville? If there isn't, I'm going to make it.
Next.
Okay.
I don't think that's one of his movies.
It is. Look it up.
I'm looking it up. We need to look this up. Pinkville.
Pinkville.
Woody one Harrelson. Word?
Yes, one word.
Woody Harrelson, Pinkville.
Pinkville.
Yeah.
We're Googling it right now. What's the next one?
White Man Can't
what?
Jump.
Oh, great movie. Boom.
Is Woody Harrelson in it?
That would be correct.
No.
Yeah, he is.
No, he's not.
Sure he is.
We're looking at the IMDb page right now. I'm not seeing Woody Harrelson.
Maybe he voiced over. Was Woody... Yeah. There he is. Boom.
Where?
Woody Harrelson, who looks great.
2008. Pinkville was in 2008.
Let's see.
So it was uncredited
cameo. No response on the page.
No response on the page?
Unless it was uncredited.
It might have been uncredited. But either way, he was...
I never saw it, so I can't say.
Well, it doesn't make a difference. I'm just telling you what Pinkville...
It was the theme.
Well, that's true.
Okay.
White Man Can't Jump. Long, black, and white. Okay, so let's go again.
Okay. Yeah, go through the whole thing.
Natural Born Killers.
The Shining.
The Shining. Indecent Proposal. Peach Post. Pinkville, which Woody Harrelson may or may not start in. Peach Powder.
Got some peaches.
White Man Can't Jump. Long, black, and white.
Do you have an idea?
No.
I don't either, because I wanted to say the last one, but because he just enjoys saying it so much.
What, long, black, and white?
Yeah.
That's me.
I'm going to go Peach Powder.
I think you're right. I'm also going to go Peach Powder.
I'm going to go Peach Post.
I feel like it's one of the peaches.
Interesting.
Is one of us right?
Yes, one of you are right.
Eliminate one of us.
I'm going to eliminate both of you because you picked the same one.
Hey,
there you go. Poof.
Darn it.
Poof. Peach Post is not the... It's called Peach something. Like Peach... Peach Opening or something. Or something like that. That's good.
Fine.
I like okay. Post, though. Just Peach Post.
We believe you.
Because we got a peach and we got a post in it.
Okay. We won't question you anymore. All right. Back to the normal. Now we're going to go on to our top five films. But someone has a list that I don't have. So,
yeah, it's Woody Harrelson.
It's more Woody Harrelson films. Fantastic.
Well, I gave JT the thing. I can give you my
email. Do you email it to both of us?
Well, I'm going to start talking about upcoming movies.
No. I got it.
Is it mostly just about The Hunger Games? Because
The Hunger Games is not in it.
Then it's not about money.
Right, no. I just emailed it to
you. So you're not doing a money one. We are doing... What is the title of it?
It's
Woody Harrelson top five minus The Hunger Games.
Oh, minus The Hunger Games.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's
so
smart.
It is money.
It starts with you could look at it. You know where it's at.
Do you get it?
Well, my internet is going super slow, okay. So I'm just going to talk about The Hunger Games.
No,
give us number five.
Number five, okay, is Now You See Me. Oh. $122 million domestic.
Yeah, Now You See Me.
Wasn't he like the leader of the magicians?
Wait, no, was he the cop? No, Mark Ruffalo was the cop chasing him, and he was like one of the leaders.
He was like the leader.
I never saw the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't. You know what? It pissed me off about the trailer in that movie is they were doing magic in the movie was impossibly stuff that couldn't be done. They were like mutants. They would actually have to be like sorcerers.
Because they're supposed to be illusionists. Yeah. And it's bullcrap. It's beyond.
It's all I see is special effects.
You know what the crazy part about it is? Isla Fisher was in the piranha tank.
Yes, that's right.
And, she almost died in there. because it was a lever that she would press, mm-hmm. you know, because they wanted to make it look realistic. Mm-hmm. The handcuffs got, like, stuck low, and they thought she was acting, and she was underwater for, like, 3 minutes. Mm. Now, people don't understand how, you know, these stunts go. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's not get this crazy. At least 2 to 3 people die a year on mm-hmm. Hollywood sets, regardless of what it is. Mm-hmm. I mean, look at Brandon Lee. Look at that girl, Sarah Jones. That mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of different things that go on here. It's not – it's serious stuff. Like, how does a real bullet – get into a gun?
It was a
for the crow.
It was actually a so basically they were shooting blanks, mm-hmm. and one of the casings for the bullets got jammed in a barrel. So it wasn't a bullet; it was a casing of a bullet. But when that second blank was shot, it caused that shell to act almost as like
a real bullet,
like a bunch of little bullets that shredded them. So yeah, it was horrible.
I mean, it was
a horrible accident.
It happens a lot.
Yeah,
I mean, there's people get concussions at all times.
Spendables 3, someone died.
So people think it's all fun and games, but. It honestly really isn't.
Happens
anyway,
on that morbid note, so Now You See Me made 117 for its lifetime.
Gotcha.
Above that on Woody Harrelson's list is 2012, which brought in 166.
Yeah. I just watched Roland this recently. Emmerich.
Good movie? I've never seen it.
I have it. It's a guilty pleasure. I just like disaster movies. I like seeing shit, you know, mm-hmm. explode and crash. So it's not good. I like Day After Tomorrow way better. But Woody Harrelson just—he's the one. He plays the generic crazy guy who's like, "The world's gonna end."
He always plays that.
Nobody believes
him. That's his general role.
Yeah,
we know what it is. Crazy guy. I mean, the crazy part about it was if you want to believe in prophecies and stuff like that. You know, that was 2012, and New York got flooded. And that's 2012 was when Hurricane Sandy happened, and New York got flooded.
Sure.
So, I mean, if you believe in, you know, that kind of stuff, then that's what happened.
But it was also a little more extreme in this movie.
Right,
the world,
bit.
Like, broken
but
half.
You know what the crazy part about it is? Do you remember the lead character's name?
John Cusack?
Yeah.
I just watched it, like, a week ago.
His name was Jackson Curtis.
Okay.
And the reason why his name was Jackson Curtis is because
50 Cent, did he produce it?
Roland Emmerich is a huge fan of 50 Cent.
Okay,
and
yeah, Curtis
wanted
Jackson.
He wanted to switch the name backwards to Jackson Curtis.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Now, I mean, between Roland Emmerich hating, like, America and wants to destroy it at every cost, every chance he gets.
Although he didn't make the Patriot.
He loves 50 Cent.
Oh, nice.
And I'm thinking Roland Emmerich, what's he doing? Like, dancing in the club, listening to, like, you know, 50 Cent, whatever, in the club?
Yeah. Well, listen, dude's got dough. He can have 50 Cent come over and perform for him live.
I'm not sure. I think he's worked with him since.
Yeah. All right. Well, we have about 15 minutes left. So also on Woody Harrelson's list are, of course, the 300 Games movies, which by far you jump from like 166 million up to 300, mm-hmm. 400, 424. So those are really his big money makers.
What about White
makers.
Man Can't Jump?
White Man Can't Jump comes up on number 7 his list.
Yeah, but it's
and
not
is
in the
76.
But we have to talk about it.
Okay. You can talk about White Man Can't Jump.
Because,
specific reason.
There's a specific reason.
Okay.
It's one of Stanley Kubrick's favorite movies.
Yeah, that's true.
Of
I've heard that
all
before.
Time. Why?
I think he...
I would have to say Rosie Perez's side boob, front boob, cleavage, and just straight up nudity. He's probably like, wow, I need to get this chick in the movie. In my opinion.
Yeah, I think he originally wrote Eyes Wide Shut.
And that was your main reason that you had to talk about...
Well, no, Stanley Kubrick. I mean, this guy's the best filmmaker of all time. And a little movie like White Man Can't Jump is one of his favorite movies.
Hey.
Unless he was just like, America's so fucked up, I'm just going to say this is my favorite movie when it's really not. But I can't see Stanley
Maybe
doing
it's
that.
A
Kubrick
nostalgia thing.
Yeah, no, no.
He moved to England. But he was raised in America.
Yeah, all but right. He's Jewish.
Well... Moving
I don't
on.
Know, I'm not going to do that
bad. Two upcoming films.
I wanted to talk about Indecent Proposal, too.
Oh.
But we have
a second.
All right, real quick.
We have 13 minutes.
Real quick. We're going to fly through the upcoming.
13 minutes, that's a lot.
What
do you have to say about Indecent Proposal, which brought in...
Well, I think it's a fantastic premise.
100.
He's about to talk about the premise.
I mean, if somebody offered $1 million to sleep with my wife, I'd be like, all right, you want my grandma and her from the deli girl, too? They don't even have to take a shower after it.
I mean,
I'm in.
If I won, like, the $300 million, like, say I won, like, $300 million Powerball,
mm-hmm.
like, I just don't think I could actually go up to someone and be like, I'll give you $1 million for your wife. Like,
so
no, you have somebody else do it.
Well, that's true. You know what, though? It wasn't his friend. That's where he was smart about it.
That's exactly right.
It wasn't, like, a friend of his, because then that'd be weird. But, like, if you just go
it's
to a couple
of still kind of weird.
You know, and Robert Redford. And,
I want to date a girl that... When that offer comes, she jumps at it.
Yeah.
I don't want it to be like...
She'd be like, listen, babe, I'll go in there so horny and just rock this guy in a minute, and then we'll have $1 million, and we can go somewhere.
Awesome. I'll go see Expendables 4. I'll meet you in about 4 hours.
Absolutely. And don't even take a shower.
Yeah. I want that girl to be
here. I regret letting you two talk about this
movie.
Well,
one more thing.
I know.
Robert Redford uses a body double, a porn star, Randy West. He's a buddy of mine, yeah.
All right. Let's go into these upcoming movies, starting with Gods of Egypt. So the first thing I heard about this movie was their public apology for being too white.
It's so white.
Yeah, because they didn't use any Egyptians in it. Although there's not really any hardcore Egyptians left.
They do use Gerard Butler.
He's Egyptian.
And
he drinks like an Egyptian. He doesn't walk like an Egyptian, but he drinks like one.
What is drinking like an Egyptian?
They just drink everything. Everything in their sight, yeah.
If you want walking like Egyptians, so just look up Steve Martin.
I feel like it's such a strange foot to start on for a film that your first kind of press is an apology.
Yeah, it's not good.
And
trailer so
bad. Yeah, but I don't understand these movies. Like, they keep using, this happens all the time, they keep using people who are not of the origin of the movie's name.
And this is going to be...
This happens all the time.
This looks just like Gods Jason and Kings.
Jason Sudeikis as Jesse Owens?
Or whatever it was.
Oh, do you remember Prince of Persia? Starring Jake Gyllenhaal?
Yeah.
It's the furthest thing from Persian. Here's the thing that really makes me depressed about this movie, is I used to love the director. I was a huge fan of Dark City. I was a huge fan of The Crow. I even liked some of his other films, like Knowing with Nicolas Cage wasn't that bad.
Mm.
But to see him fall this far down, who knows? Maybe it'll surprise everybody and it'll be a fun movie, but
plus I
saw Gerard Butler in this movie like 1,000 times already. It seems like he's always like in like some kind of like with a shield and some chest guard and stuff
and
like that.
And he's yelling.
Yeah, he's yelling. He's probably like, I just need money. That's probably the only line he says.
It's the effects look bad. Like, there's nothing about the movie that... And who's the guy who's like teamed up with the guy from Game of Thrones? Like... I've never seen
the
this guy
from Game of Thrones.
Guy from Game of Thrones, but he's like teamed up with the immortal, this kid who looks like he just walked off of Abercrombie Fitch.
Wait, poster. Brenton.
Who cares?
Brenton. Yeah. Wraith. He was actually in, I believe, The Giver. I think he was the kid in The Giver. That got him some fame.
Nobody's going to see this.
All right. Yeah.
Some
it's gonna
people
bomb.
Are going to see this.
It's going to bomb, though.
Boss Turner says he's going to see it, then I'm going to see it.
Also coming out is Triple Nine.
Yes.
Which from far away, it just looks like a ton of Deadpools in its advertising. Have you
noticed
that?
Oh, yeah, with the red ski mask. I love the look of this movie, mm-hmm. and it's by the same guy that directed Lawless with Shia LaBeouf and Tom Hardy, which I really dug.
Yes.
He also did The Proposition with Guy Pearce, another movie I really liked.
Has a really strong cast. You're talking about Kate Winslet, Aaron Paul, Norman Reedus. Like,
it's a great cast.
Casey Affleck,
Chiwetel
Woody Harrelson.
Okafor, whatever that guy's name is.
Chiwetel Okafor.
Yeah.
And Anthony Mackie.
Yes, Anthony Mackie, too.
Really, really
Casey
strong
Affleck.
Cast. I love Casey
Michael
Affleck.
B. Jordan was supposed to be Anthony Mackie's part, but he did a little movie called Creed.
Yes. I will say Triple Nine, apparently the title is when you kill a cop gets killed.
Yes.
They do that to draw the cops to one area so they could go rob another area.
Absolutely.
So I heard it's really violent. Gritty.
Only has 64% on Rotten Tomatoes right now.
But the trailers look fantastic. I only get hope that the movie is as raw as the trailers depict.
Mm-hmm. Kind of looks like Heat. It definitely has some Heat type moments in it.
It looks fantastic. I mean, I hope I get a little Training Day out of it. You know, you get a little Heat out of it. Mm-hmm. I hope this can, make it right. We'll see. There was a lot of people... Which makes me think it's really good is Kate Blanchett dropped out and Kate Winslet came in.
Yeah, Winslet came in, yeah.
I mean, this movie had Jeff Bridges attached to it. This movie had Chris Pine to it.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
There was a lot of people doing this thing, but obviously commitments and things like that.
So,
Lawless 2012 with Tom Hardy. Let's see what
Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah, it had 67% critics on Rotten Tomatoes with 75% audience score.
Okay.
So, stronger in the audience star.
I'd recommend Triple Nine. For sure.
Yeah, can't wait. That's the one I'm going to be seeing this weekend.
Absolutely.
Also coming out, though, is Eddie the Eagle, which...
It's like a fun, decent movie.
Yes,
it's a heartfelt movie. It's good.
It is the story of Eddie Edwards, the notoriously tenacious British underdog ski jumper who charmed the world in the 1988 Winter Olympics. So it is starring Taron Egerton and Hugh Jackman.
Yeah. You like that guy, don't you?
I do. I was a big fan of Kingsman, so
He's a star.
Does his look distract you, though? The look he's doing in this movie?
Yeah, he's kind of doing this. He's kind of doing like the Office Space, like, stapler guy.
Yeah.
Oh, no, he's doing a little sling blade.
Yeah, he's a little sling blade.
I was kind of surprised when I saw the first footage from this, because I'd heard about this movie before, and you hear about it and you kind of think it's like this, you know, epic achievement.
Well, he's got a bunch of screws loose. I mean, it takes, you would have to have a bunch of screws loose to do the stuff he's doing.
And it's being directed by Dexter Fletcher, and he's an actor primarily. So he's been in a ton of stuff. He's been in Kick-Ass, he's been in Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, he's been in The Elephant Man.
But, you know, this guy, the real-life Eddie Edwards, is saying that 90% of the movie is made up.
Oh, really? That's always unfortunate.
He said it on the BBC not too long ago. He might have been off his rocker, though. This guy's completely off his rocker. He might have fell on his head too much.
Awesome.
But you got to look at it this way. A lot of there's a big difference between based on actual events and, you know, this is a true story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course. No, I totally understand.
Based
that.
Means like they can go, they can use 1%.
I know.
That's it.
But whenever
it's
you're
a
doing
it, and like
sports story, like if I saw Jesse Owens' movie and it was like 90% fake, I'd be pretty upset.
Or if he loses and then Hitler blows up the whole place.
Yeah.
That's not true.
I will say, though, real quick, I heard a rumor that, like, the events in the Winter Olympics that this happens in is the same ones Cool Runnings happened in. Like, it's the same year. I heard someone...
Wow, really?
So, 1988?
Like, so, like, you can watch both those movies and they cover the same Olympics. And
you could have, like, a nice little marathon.
Yeah, I could be wrong.
Even if you are, it's still amazing.
All right, so finally coming out...
I hope it is.
...is Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, Sword of Destiny, which we talked about a little bit in our international numbers. It is having a limited release, so
very
if you want
limited,
to go find it.
But if you don't want to go find one of these limited theaters, it's being released the same day on Netflix.
There you go.
Just like Beast of No Nation.
Is Wang Jiaji in it, or whatever her name is?
Donnie Yen and Michelle Yeoh.
What about...
There you go.
Michelle Yeoh, the figure skater?
Michelle Yeoh.
She might have been in the Olympics
All
when
right.
that went
now
down.
We're going to get... We have a couple minutes left. We have Tobogging. Some predictions to do, and then we're going to get to a caller. Let's start with JTE, who is back this week. Back.
This isn't easy.
No, it's not. So, all right. Let's do this. Number one, Deadpool.
Fantastic.
Still going to win it. Mm-hmm. Number two, I am going to go... Ooh, this is tough.
Yeah.
I'm going to go number two, 999.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Number three, I will go Eddie the Eagle.
Okay.
Number four, Kung Fu Panda. And then number five, I guess I'll go God's Egypt.
Gods of Egypt is an interesting one because
people are going to be fooled the first
time. How many
theaters
in Gods of Egypt?
It's a big release.
It's a large release. Jeez, let me find that for you.
I just haven't heard one person.
Gods of Egypt 3000 versus 999 and Eddie the Eagle both in 2000. So it's got 1,000 more theaters. Its tracking has also put it ahead of 999, but not by much. And word of mouth is already kind of bad on it, so it'll be interesting how much that tracking is affected.
Why don't you go second?
Okay, I'm also going to start with Deadpool. Mm-hmm. It's going to do really well. I am going to give it to 999, even though 999 is tracking under Gods of Egypt. I just haven't heard any excitement about that. But I'm going to put Gods of Egypt third. Mm-hmm. Then I'm going to put Kung Fu Panda 3, followed by Eddie the Eagle.
Hmm. Okay.
Hmm. Yeah. Hmm. To you, too.
Hmm. I'm going to go Deadpool, number one, obviously.
All right.
I'm going to go Gods of Egypt, number two, for some stupid reason.
It's not stupid. That's where it's tracking.
Let's go Eddie the Eagle, number three.
Okay.
All right. 999, number four.
Mm-hmm.
And Kung Fu Panda, number five.
Yeah, it's a weird thing to have. I think that 999 and Deadpool, both rated R, both violent movies.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to draw some of the same audience. But because of everyone who's already been out to see Deadpool, I think a lot of those people are going to transfer over to seeing 999.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely looking at the box office in general of what's coming out, got a lot of male-dominated movies.
Yeah.
It's
a testosterone-filled month.
Yeah.
You know,
so
it happens.
Let's get... see if we can get one or
real
two
quick, guys,
calls and get them in there quick.
I just confirmed it. Eddie the Eagle takes place in the 1988 Olympics. Cool Runnings takes place in the 1988 Olympics.
Boom.
Two underdog stories about Olympics.
I feel like you just said
1988.
Is that Tonya Harding?
All right.
I think we have
a caller on the line.
I'm a big fan of Jeff Galooly.
Do we have a caller on the line?
Hey, caller, are you there? We got Box Office Breakdown. Who we got?
It's Ramon from Oregon.
Hey,
what's
Ramon.
Up, Oregon?
Hey, man.
Do you have a top five for us or a question today?
I guess I'll do my top five.
Awesome.
All right, cool.
Okay.
Let's hear it.
Oh, the Deadpool 1.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do... what do I get?
It's tough.
The Gods of Egypt 2.
Wow. Mm, nice. Put a lot of stock in that Gods
he's
of Egypt.
With stock, so he's with Finstock.
I got you.
So
he's with the tracking numbers.
Yeah.
It's accurate.
Well, Kung Fu Panda 3.
Ooh.
Okay.
Ooh.
Wow, you got Triple Nine tanking, huh?
Oh, interesting.
Then I'm going to do Eddie the Eagle, then Triple Nine.
Ah,
okay.
Not,
not
okay.
a lot of hope for right. Triple Nine. Any reason for that?
I just don't think it's gone much. I mean, I'm going to a screening on Tuesday. I'm pretty mm-hmm. pumped, but I don't really hear anything about it.
Gotcha.
Nice. You got to
gotcha.
Let us know how it is.
Do you follow any of us on Twitter, buddy?
Yeah.
Hit me up with a review for Triple Nine when you see that screen.
Yeah, DM them. They'll get
yeah,
in trouble.
DM me.
Yeah, don't get in trouble.
I got
thank
open
you
DM.
So much.
I'll tell you what. Since you're first time caller, right?
Yeah.
If you beat us in the top five, we got something for you. So if you okay. do win, you know, keep Mark because
yeah.
we have a guy who's not keeping stats properly anymore.
Yeah, sorry, yeah. we didn't have winners
it's
for you
okay.
guys today.
Dylan's in San Antonio, Texas, or something.
And if you're wondering what you win, it's invitation to Finstock's next key party.
Yeah, next key party. And then we'll send something to you. I
yeah.
like Oregon.
Thank you so much for calling
thanks,
in.
Thanks,
let's
dude.
See if we can get one more caller before we get out of here.
One more. Here we go.
Uno, dos.
Thanks
hey.
For calling what Box the? Office Breakdown. Who do we got?
It's Travis again, dude.
Travis.
Ooh,
Travis,
what's
nice,
up, man?
Travis, what's up, dude?
Not a whole lot, man.
How'd that Jim Beam go last night? You guys made it right for yourself or no?
I made it absolutely right for myself.
That's
sir.
The only way to
absolutely
do it.
Right.
It's the only way to do it.
Travis,
yeah,
do you have a top five or a question for us?
Well, other than, yeah, I do have a top five.
Awesome.
Just want to point out to JTE that I watched that Serene Jantee's fight with you and
Schmoloff
and Ellis,
yeah.
and I will never, ever forget Psychological Cop.
Thank you.
I mean, that
yeah.
that is
was
like,
that your made-up movie?
That was my made-up movie.
Psychological Cop. It's not bad.
It's with Sam Elliott, Keanu Reeves, and a cameo by the Spice Girls.
Wow.
We had to, like, pick names out of hat and, like, come with title. I got some awesome posters. Some fans, I retweeted it. Maybe some pretty cool posters for her.
I love Sam Elliott.
Right. Mine was the only one, by the way, Travis. I lost that round. Mine's the only one that actually has a shot of being a movie.
Yeah. Well, anything with Sam Elliott's in it. I mean, he was in
yeah.
Mask, which
yeah.
is my favorite movie.
Ellis and Harloff, they went the joke route. I actually tried to make it somewhat of a movie.
That's why you won.
I did win the whole thing, though, didn't I?
Yeah.
I shouldn't have talked. I'm the best.
Yeah.
Don't brag too
best.
Much. Let Travis do his top five before we
go ahead, Travis.
Get out of here.
Hey, Travis, what do you
all
think
right.
about the name I anointed JTE? The Gigolo of Burbank.
that is a gnarly name, dude.
It's perfect.
I'll take that over Juggalo of Burbank.
Yeah, there you go.
I actually would too, by the way, yeah.
yeah
no, but at my top five, obviously Deadpool number one.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. You know, in a weird kind of crazy thing, like I'm just gonna be different and just say Eddie the Eagle at number two. And
okay.
It probably doesn't have a shot.
No,
but,
you might be right.
Who knows?
But it would be great if it did.
It would be kind of awesome, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Number three would, of course, be Gods of Egypt, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And number four would actually be. I'm going to go ahead and say Kung Fu Panda 3, and at number 5, that John Hoko movie.
Oh, Triple Nine.
We've got
Nine.
Both
nice.
Callers today said that Triple Nine is coming in 5th place.
Yeah, well.
So we'll see how that does. Thank you so
that
much for
right.
calling in.
Thanks, dude.
Everyone,
thanks, buddy.
Thank you for watching us, tuning in every week. We'll be back next Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you can always find us on our Twitters, except
mm-hmm.
for me, because I've been kind of forgetting to use it. Also,
just
Facebook on iTunes. If you could go on there, take a minute out of your day,
mm-hmm.
rate us, review us. It's
yeah,
always
the
really
more the
helpful.
Merrier.
Yeah, do it.
Yeah,
Ash Schmoes JT.
Comment on JT's nickname.
Ask Sarah Stratton.
At Pop
Fitz. I'm changing. I might change my Twitter name to
to Psychological Cop.
Gigolo Burbank.
The Gigolo Burbank.
You know, the nickname
next
is
week.
Coming.
That's what you do in movie fights.
Yeah.
All right.
Gigolo Burbank starring you.
I think I'm going to write a Psychological Cop 2 script, and they're going after a serial killer named the Gigolo Burbank.
Sounds perfect.
It.
All right,
poof.
Thank you guys so much.
Poof.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.